is out now. So just pray for them. They will be gone in Ohio this week, and that gave them the opportunity to get out of here a little bit sooner. So, you know, that means you're stuck with me, and we're back in our Jacob story for summer. So follow along with us. We are learning about trusting the story that God is writing in our lives. That's really hard. It's really difficult to trust God when I want to control things, I want to operate things, I want to manipulate things and get them the way I think they need to be, instead of trusting that God has a plan and that he loves me and he cares about me and he's going to do what is best if I will get out of my own way, and especially out of his way, and do what he needs to do and to work. So last week was all about how Jacob starts off in life. He is the younger brother. He's actually called Jacob because he's grabbing his older brother's heel. They were twins, and so that's how he gets this name. Isn't that a great way to name your kids? But that's what happened. That's how he was named. And so that became kind of the thing that he was known for, tripping up his brother. He did it earlier when he got him to sell his bowl of stew for his birthright. Then he stole the blessing from him, and now he's got to leave, and he takes off. So after he leaves and he takes off, all of a sudden he meets the girl of his dreams, but he doesn't have any financial worth because he had to leave because of the way he tricked out his entire family. So all this stuff has just kind of accumulated, and now what's going to happen? Last week we looked at that Jacob makes a deal to work 7 years for Rachel and finds out that his uncle is a worse deceiver than he is, ends up with Leah, decides to marry Rachel anyway, and it's all really complicated. And if you thought last week was complicated, oh yeah, wait till you read some of the passages this week. Now, I hope you should have the same reaction I do. This is in the Bible? Yeah, you'd be amazed at the stuff in the Bible. And as I've said before, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean you should actually do what's in the Bible, okay? Sometimes it's just, this is the story of imperfect people who are going to do things that God is not telling them to do, that God is not for, that God's not saying, go get them, that God's like, what are you doing? But remember, this is a guy who's not trusting the story. He's not trusting what God's doing. He's trying to figure this out. He's deceiving his way through life. And now, right, God is going to teach him something. And through all of this, God is trying to teach him something. So this week, it's just more of this, okay? When you don't have a plan, you don't know what God is doing, all of a sudden you just start, you know, winging things and just going whatever's going on. That's exactly this story. Now, this is all about Jacob's family. And what we'll learn in the end is just some practical stuff that hopefully will help us in our families not make some of those same mistakes and to walk with God and to learn what he is doing in the midst of everything. So here we go. We'll be in the last part of Genesis chapter 29 into Genesis chapter 30. If you want to follow along on the Bible app and you're on your Bibles, you can follow along on the screen. If you're watching online, just right at the bottom of the screen, all the verses will be there for us. All right, here we go. And I'm just going to kind of work through this quickly. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, great position, right? The first woman you married, God looks down and she is unloved. He enabled her to become pregnant while Rachel remained childless. I would just ask you to consider that verse in light of everything going on in our own world and our own thoughts in these days. Just consider that. God saw that. God worked. God enabled her to become pregnant while Rachel remained childless. When Rachel saw that she could not give Jacob children, she became jealous of her sister. Problem. Now we're going to have jealousy creeping into a family. And it's going to create a lot of problems that we are going to see here. She said to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. Now I need to stop there. Does anybody remember where we've heard a similar phrase? Did we hear something similar from Esau when he said, give me that stew or I will die. Give me that or I will die. So obviously, right, same type of thing. It's telling us a very similar story that's where Rachel is. Give me children, I'll die. Jacob became furious with her and exclaimed, am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children? What do you want me to do about it? Okay? And instead of, let's ask God, let's seek God, let's see what God wants to do in the midst of it, what's the next line? She replied, here's my servant, Bilhah, sleep with her. Oops, maybe we should ask God and we wouldn't have gone there, but that's where we went. And you're like, that's in the Bible? Yep. Oh, it gets even better. So just follow on because it gets even better. So that's the solution. And what should Jacob say to that? Whoa, what are we doing? Because this has been part of the story too. If you remember, and this is, I know it's been a whole year ago, when we looked at Abraham, this is how he got in trouble. Sarah comes along and goes, well, I'm old. There's no way I'm having kids. Here's Hagar. And Hagar produces Ishmael, and that creates a whole history of issues because that happened. Don't you think he should have said, wait a minute, I'm pretty sure I saw this on Ancestry.com, and we shouldn't do that, okay? We shouldn't do that because I saw it branched off here, and it was not good. Nope. What does he do? So that she can bear children, have a family through her. So Rachel gave him her servant, Bilhah, as a wife, and Jacob slept with her. Jacob's just going along with the plan. Okay, whatever you say, whatever you want. It continues. Bilhah became pregnant, gave Jacob a son, and Rachel said, God has vindicated me. He has responded to my prayer and given me a son. That is why she named him Dan. So see, Dan, you didn't know what your name meant. Now you know this morning. Now you know what it meant, okay? There we go. So, right, that's what it says. So it goes on. Bilhah, Rachel's servant, became pregnant again, gave Jacob another son. And Rachel said, I have fought a desperate struggle with my sister, but I have won. And she named him Naphtali. Okay, it's just again, Hebrew alliterated words to come up with that. So can you imagine, hey, what's your name? I beat my sister. Okay, that's really what his name is. Okay, I beat my sister. So it continues. When Leah saw, right, because Leah's all jealous, even though she's already had, and you got to read the narrative earlier, she has already had four sons. One of them, by the way, is named Judah. Anybody remember which line Jesus comes from? Judah. Leah. Okay? That's just something to remember in the back of your head in the midst of everything that's going on. She had stopped having children. She gave her servant Zilpah to Jacob as a wife. You'd think he'd know better by now. Nope. Soon, Leah's servant Zilpah came and gave Jacob a son. And Leah said, how fortunate. So she named him Gad. Then Leah's servant Zilpah gave Jacob another son. And Leah said, how happy am I, for women will call me happy. So she named him Asher. Oh my. Okay, right? Are you just like, I will say this up front. I was tempted to skip this and go, no, I think I'll just skip this, okay? Because you have to ask this question, right? We've been asking questions. What is this doing in the Bible? What on earth is this doing in the biblical narrative? Because here's what you have to know about Genesis, and this is really important. When they arrive at Mount Sinai, and God begins to give his people, they've come out of the Exodus, they've come to Mount Sinai, and he needs to make sure they know the story of everything that happened before Exodus. He gives that to Moses, and that is what we have as a record in the book of Genesis, okay? So everything has to be important. Everything is vital. So you get to this, and you're like, what? Why is this in your precious little space? Why is this a part of the biblical narrative? And I'll give you my thoughts in a bit, and you might be surprised. And this is what I think as you read Scripture. And again, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean you should do it. But it reminds us, hey, look at the individuals. If you just think the Bible's filled with a bunch of perfect people and we have a perfect narrative, you have not read very much of it. As you can see this morning, these are imperfect people that God's going to use to carry out his plan. And it should make us all feel relieved that we don't sit here having to be perfect, or God doesn't love us, God must be disappointed with us. All this noise that comes from our enemy that just tells us constantly, you're not enough, God's disappointed with you, look at, you've sinned, you're nothing. And so we end up not knowing how much God loves us and following him in our lives. Can I ask a second question? Who's leading this family? Who is leading this family? And before you think this is just a question for husband or wife, where is asking God in any of this? Where's asking God? Who's providing leadership for this family? Because perhaps you grew up like me, and you had things you wanted to do, and you went and told your parents, yeah, but so-and-so's parents are letting them do that, right? Like, that works 0% of the time. Zero. Never worked. It never, ever worked. In fact, they always used to say, yeah, but I'm not so-and-so's parents. I'm not so. And then they always say this, and I don't know why parents always said this. Did you ever hear this growing up? If so-and-so jumped off a bridge, would you? No, of course not. I'd wave at them. You know, maybe they're bungee jumping. I don't know, okay? But did you see, you heard that too. And you're like, what? What does that got to do with anything? Now, I did not understand that at 10, 12, 14, 16. I just keep going, okay? It takes a while to understand what they're doing. They're providing leadership. And they're like, yeah, I know. I know so-and-so's doing that. Wonderful. Awesome. Great. But I'm responsible for bringing leadership to this family. And so here's what I believe God wants us to do. So there's things I'm going to tell you you can't do. There's things you're going to be allowed to do. There's things you're not going to be allowed to do. And I'm telling you, you don't understand as a kid. I don't understand as a kid. But then you understand, oh, that's what they were doing. That's what they were doing. And we all have to provide some leadership to our family. And that's my big question. And I would just change it a little bit this morning. Who's leading your family? Who's leading your family? And how are you making decisions on what to do and what not to do? Because it's not easy. I think we can all just agree, not easy, okay? Your kids, by the way, if you think your kids are going to approve and say, oh, Mom and Dad, wonderful job, okay? Mom, great job on that one. Dad, wonderful. No, no, no. They will hate you, okay? They will Snapchat their friends that my parents are so mean to me that they're the worst parents in the world. You will get it all. I'm just going to tell you you're going to get it all. And if you went into this thinking that your kids were going to like you, ha, you are wrong. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And that's not the goal, right? The goal is I got to provide leadership. I need God to help me because I need God to help me. And then I need to help decisions be made in my family for my kids. And you know what? And all of the Latinos in the room, some probably watching online, we are going to get it wrong. You need to understand that. Your parents are going to get it wrong. Of course we are. We are imperfect people. And yet, let me tell you what does not go into it. We do not stay up at night going, how can I just ruin my kids' day? How could I do that? How could I make 15 the worst year of their life? Because I think we'll do that. And they sit down and they write a detailed plan that 15 is going to be the worst. And we're going to tell them no to this and no to that. No, they don't do that. They don't do that. We're trying to do what is best and provide leadership to get you in a proper place, to help you out, to give you everything we do. And every parent wants one of the same things to their kids. We want to give you the advantages that we didn't have and help you do things we were not able to do. We so want that, okay? But so often, right, you just think we hate you and we want what's bad for you and we're just stealing your fun. And that's just not true. We're trying to provide leadership. So I would ask you, how is it going providing leadership for your family? Because that's a really important thing to do, and that's what God's asked us to do, provide leadership. What parts of the story have we seen before? Well, I gave you the obvious one, right? Give me children, I'll die, or give me this stew, and I will die. I will say we are seeing another part of this story. When Esau came in that day, and he said, feed me, it was the word that was used for animals. He was acting like, and Genesis refers to this all the way back in the beginning, he was acting like a beast. And God says, you're not a beast. God says, you're not an animal, you're not a beast. So stop acting like one. And let me tell you, there was lots of people who did this. Esau did that. And you know what Jacob's acting like here? A beast. He's not providing leadership. He's like, okay, who's the next one tonight? Right? Who's next? That's all he's doing. That is all he's doing. He's not providing leadership. He is not exhibiting any type of self-control. He's not speaking into his family. He's just going with whatever these two are arguing about. And, oh, you thought my servant was great. Got right, tried my servant. My servant's better than your servant. and it's just absolute chaos. It's absolute chaos. But these are parts of the story we've seen before. We've seen the Abraham part of it, where Sarah could not trust that God had a plan and a purpose in her life at her age. And so, well, here's Hagar. And they're going to do the same mistake over and over again that's already been done. We've seen these parts of the story before. Pay attention to that, because that always tells us something that God wants us to know, because we missed something that's going on. And it repeats. There are people just repeating those same things. So let's hit some life application as we kind of near the last part of this morning. God uses imperfect people to carry out his perfect will. Let me tell you why this is for everybody in the room, everybody watching online. Let me tell you why this is really hard. Because when we mess up, head goes down, God must hate me, God must be so disappointed with me, there's no way I can do anything for him. Everybody else is just doing it so well, they're just so perfect, they don't have any struggles. That's what we think. Pretty soon we will stop coming to church, we will stop reading our Bibles, we'll stop doing all this stuff, head down, God must just not love me anymore. I'm hoping you'll see something different in this story. This is an imperfect people. This is Jacob totally messing up. And God doesn't go, well, what are we going to do now? It's remember, because it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, what are we going to do now? I guess we got to remove you, Jacob, and go with somebody else. No, he doesn't do that. And that is not the narrative of Scripture, by the way. Somewhere along the line, we lost the narrative of Scripture that God loves us. We lost that. And it became to God only loves me when I perform the way God wants me to perform. Lie. Total lie. And that's why so many people have walked away. They have not understood who God is. They have not understood how much he loves us, how much he demonstrated that on the cross, how much he's done for us. And so when we mess up, and you're going to mess up, because we all do, we just head down, I give up, God must really hate me. Where is that in the Bible? And I've asked people this question before. You know what they go to? They go to the one. They always go to the same place. You know where that place is? Sodom and Gomorrah. But God blew up that city, right? That's what's going to happen. I'm going to walk into the church and God's going to blow it up. I have no idea why you think that. Okay? Not true. Not true. And just because God loves us, just because God loves Jacob here, you need to understand something. He's not endorsing Jacob. He is not in heaven going, oh, Jacob, good guy. Woo! Yeah, four of them. Four wives. Aren't you the man? Okay, that's not what God's doing. But God's going to work in spite of the way he's acting, and he's going to work in him and through him in spite of that, without endorsing this is the way you want to live. God does not endorse our sin, but he loves us through it. And through all the consequences we deal with because of it. And he loves us, and he has a plan for us, and he's constantly trying to get us to trust that story. Just trust what I'm doing. Trust what I'm doing. Trust what I'm doing. And if you don't hear that narrative, you will drop your head, you will walk away, and you will think God does not love you anymore. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Nothing. So learn that from this story of Jacob. This is not when God wipes Jacob off the face of the earth and finds somebody else to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and blank. Nope. Nope. He's still going to use them. He still has a plan. He's still working in spite of all of it. And probably one of the reasons we have this narrative is all these names that we looked at. Who's Asher and Gad and Dan? And they're all the tribes. They all become the tribes of Israel. Where God starts with a man by name of Abraham, works through and starts with a nation, which he brings forth his son to die in our place and rise again for our salvation. It is all part of his plan. And so often we miss that, this entire beautiful narrative of Scripture that starts and shows that God has a plan through it all. Number two, where there is no leadership, anything goes. Where there is no leadership, and there's no leadership in this family. There's nobody's seeking God. Nobody's asking God what they should do. they're just acting, may I say, like everybody else is. There's no seeking God. There's no looking to him. And where there is no leadership, anything goes. I am telling you that. I know it's hard. I know it's hard because you have to make choices. And those choices aren't very popular, and nobody understands these choices. Because everybody else that you work with and everybody else in your neighborhood might be choosing something else, which makes it even harder because your kids are like, but everybody else is doing that. Why can't I do that? You have to provide leadership for your family. You have to. And for some of you, you're a single mom. That's you. You got to provide leadership for your family. You got to do what says is best for your family. So some of that single moms, man, you have my complete sympathy and empathy. You are doing a hard, hard job, and you're doing it by yourselves, and you got to provide leadership for your family, and that's even harder in these days. So I am telling you, God loves you, and God will help you to do just that. So whether you're a single parent, whether it's two of you, I am telling you, God will help you, but provide leadership. Ask God to help you. Because where there's none, anything goes. And I'm afraid you'll wake up someday and go, what happened? What happened? My kids were so cute and fun, and what happened? What happened to this whole thing? What happened in our home? What happened in our family? What happened? I'm afraid you're going to wake up someday and wonder, what happened? And by the way, you are fortunate that there are two of you in the house. And I am telling you, that is becoming a less and less reality. Okay? It's so important that you work together and pray together and ask God together for what you should be doing for your family. Because I think at times we get it wrong. For example, guys, I'll speak to guys for a moment. Do you know what God, well, Jesus will ask us someday? He won't ask us how brilliant we were. He won't ask us how many wonderful decisions we made by ourselves, okay? He won't ask any of that. Do you know what the question is? Did you love your wife? That's literally, Ephesians 5, that's the question. And then do you know what he will do? He will say, oh, no. I'm not asking you. I'm asking her. She gets the answer, but you don't get to answer that question because you'll be like, oh, of course I did. Of course I did. Because every guy in here would say, of course I did. I told her I loved her sometime, right? Maybe in the far past. I don't know. I do a lot for her. And we can justify anything. But guys, that's not what's going to happen. Jesus is going to look at her and go, okay, did he? Did he love you? Did you actually feel loved? Big question. And we don't even get to try to, you know, right, wiggle our way out of it. Because that question is for us. That question is for them. Were they loved by us? You see how that works? That's what it means to have a plan, provide leadership for your family. That's what it looks like, guys. Are we doing that? History often repeats itself as long as we insist on doing it ourselves. It often repeats itself. Especially, we will make the same mistakes, the same ones. You would think Jacob would have heard enough stories about Abraham, about Hagar, about Ishmael. No, nope. Obviously, that had very little effect, and you just went along with the same thing. Obviously, there's just all these repeats that go on. And if we would be honest, there's a lot of that repeating in our own families as well. We tend to repeat mistakes instead of asking God to help us to forge a new direction. We just end up doing the same thing. Make the same mistakes, do the same thing. And I'm telling you, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. That God has a plan and purpose in all of it. But I'm telling you, history will repeat itself as long as I want to do things my way. Then guess what? I will end up making those same mistakes instead of forging a new path forward and ahead with what God wants me to do. So this is our final question we've been asking the week. Are you trusting the story God is writing? Are you trusting that story? That God has a plan and a purpose in the midst of everything, and I'm going to trust him and what he is doing in the midst of my life. That's our question. That's what we want you to think about and kind of dwell on this week as you think about what Jacob experienced and went through. He's trying to get to a point to trust his story. I'm telling you, it's like a long way off where he's going to struggle and he's going to do things his own way and he's going to keep trying to manipulate. Next week is just that all over again. Next week, he takes revenge for what happens on his wedding night. He's going to take revenge and he's going to try to get out of Laban something for what happened to him. Okay? Because again, why do we do that quite often? Because we're not trusting that God has a plan and a purpose in all of it. So, let's pray. Let's just ask God to help us today. Just be honest. You don't have to feel bad about it, but let's not lie to ourselves just because the truth makes us feel bad about ourselves. Let's be honest. Who's providing leadership for our families? How are we doing with that? And what does God want us to do as we trust the story? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it was probably an easier text to read. Just go, oh, I can't believe Jacob would do that and act like that and go there and until it turns to us. And then we have to answer some really hard questions about who's providing leadership for our families. Father, these are hard days. These are hard times where the flow of everything around us just wants to shove us in a certain direction. And if we're not providing leadership and we're not seeking you to provide that, it isn't just I'm the boss and I'm going to do whatever I want. I ask you what you want. We seek you in what you want. We know you have a great plan and a purpose in our lives. So we seek you and then we ask you to work in and through our lives. And we ask you to help us to be the parents we need to be and provide that leadership to our family. And sometimes, Father, those are hard days because we have to say no to things that our kids don't understand. Because to them, it just looks like what everybody's doing. To us, we see it as a danger, as a place we don't want them to be. So, Father, would you help us in our homes to provide leadership and see what we'd do if we would trust you with the story of our home and the story of what you want to do. Would you continue to work and move and help us in our lives? And Father, as we declare this next song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I pray that over everybody who drops their head and thinks you are so disappointed with them, you don't love them anymore, you're not for them anymore, and it's all lies. You are. But you do that without endorsing our sin, without stamping your approval on things you say are bad for us and will only bring about some bad things. You still love us, and you turn us to something better and greater. May we make that turn and lift up our heads and stop living in the guilt and shame of the enemy and walk in the truth of your love, that we would understand we are children of God. Work and move in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like prayer this morning, come, and our prayer team will be right over here this morning. So you can come up, and they would love to pray with you on anything you'd like to pray about. And for the rest of you, let's stand. We're going to sing one more song this morning.